ever made there in that place. So it's real. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, are you believing this morning? Listen, let the kids go. Stay out. You good, Sandy? Yeah, just stay out this morning. Y'all going to get you some real word this morning. Not that you ain't giving them real word. But how many knows God's word works in the nursery? God's word works in the children's ministry. God's word works in the youth, but God's word works out here just as well. Hallelujah, praise God. If you're not believing, go ahead and shift gears, get in a place of expectation. Like Monty, go ahead and start it, Travis. I'm going to be talking about today, Faith with Works, that's the title. But, you know, Monty, they did well turning off this world. Because, you know, just like the guy's telling you about, he went and started out for Jesus. Got to listening, figuring out theologically things out of the Word of God, and became anti-church, and he became anti-tithing. He used to do all that. He listened to the world and religious and philosophy and theology and figuring out God's word on their own, men. That's why we got the Holy Spirit. And he quickens God's word to you and causes you to have victory. Now he's went to the world is flat, you know, and trying to, you know, he goes to seminar. They spend hours and time and money and buy the books and all of that just because you can't see for 100 miles across the ocean, you know, or whatever he's talking about. And then you got what, like Monty was talking about, you got these pagan worshipers in our United States of America now that worships other gods, that believes in another god, and you either submit to that god or you're going, that sounds kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to me. In the Bible, they were faced with that stuff, you know, and all of that. And so I basically just told him, because I'm not going to quarrel with him like Monty said, you know, God's word is all the evidence I need to know that my God will take care of Scotty. He will defend Scotty. He will do whatever he needs to do to take care of Scotty. And if he's your God, and you make the same choices, but God, there ain't nothing on this planet or around it. It's like I told that guy, and he got upset. I told him, I said, the Sharia law. I said, they trying to pass it in the United States. I said, and you know what? I said, it could come down to where you're going to have to choose which God. You're going to have to choose either. We choose him every day, but not in this deep manner I'm talking about. You either choose him or you don't. I mean, you choose to serve him and depend on him to help you to overcome, to help you to come out from fears and all of that stuff, and you take whatever, and I'm going to get into some stuff here in a minute. You take the word of God, and then you fight the good fight of faith, and then you lay hold, and you tell the Lord, God, I'm not where I want to be, God, but you said you would finish the work you begun in me, God. And no matter what gets in between you and that purpose that God has for you, if you don't bow, then God is backing you and heaven is backing you and angels are backing you and Holy Spirit is quickening you. Well, I told him, I said, because you know what, if it comes down to that, it don't make no difference if the world is flat, round, square, triangular. In all honesty, I don't really care. It's been here for 59 years under me, and I believe God's going to keep it, and I believe that it's going to be burned up one day, and it don't make no difference, and I don't want to spend my tax-earned money to cool the planet, because it is going to burn, Pat, one day, according to my Bible. There ain't no global warming got to do with it or none of that. Hallelujah. And I'm not into all that politics, but when it comes down, when that stuff comes down and tries to get me to conform to this world and this age and their way of doing and thinking, I'm not going there. I believe like Jeremiah said, I believe this house, Granny, and I'm believing for a long, satisfied life for you and God show His glory. That's why she eats vegetables. She cans vegetables. Squash. She got them in everybody's freezer that'll let her put them in it. Got them in her freezer. Got them in her mama's freezer. Got them in her brother's freezer. She's old school. That's not old school. She's 90 years old, still going good. Oh, she can complain. I can too about this and that. But we praising God today, right? Faith with works is what I'm going to be talking about. You know, when I hear this garbage out there and I don't bite it, I don't listen to it and I don't debate it. I don't debate about the Word of God. I don't care what they think and what people think. You know, they think and their translation and their interpretation is. I go to the Lord and I don't judge them, but I get the interpretation of the Bible from the Holy Spirit. Then when He quickens, just like Monty brought it up, he said, Jesus told Peter, he said, flesh and blood hadn't revealed. He didn't give you this revelation. He said, this came from God. He said, now upon this that came from God, there ain't no gates of hell that's going to be able to prevail against it. Amen. So my stance on God's word is my victory. Yeah. I've been in this 30 something years, and it's not all about that. You can be in it 50 years and still be a baby spiritually. Right. It's got to do with what you do with it. And they get in, well, we're not under the works. He's talking about salvation. And we have a new covenant. Get this real easy and simple and clear to you. Well, when they come out here, we're not justified by works. I know Paul said that. He was talking about salvation. Justification comes through Jesus. We are made right through Jesus. And Jesus took on all of the things and put it in love, said, in all the commands of God, hang on this love command. So now, I just want to clear that up. They believe you don't have to go to church because we're living under grace and we don't have to work, we have works. We don't have to tithe anymore because it's under the law. Works. That's what they're pointing to. Works. We're just free. We do what we feel to do. We feel. This is not Christianity. I'm telling you, it is not real Christianity. If you have faith and you have no works with it, it's not live faith. It's counterfeit faith. Counterfeit. This is important what I'm saying. It is counterfeit faith. Paul even told him, he said, examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. Monty thought he was in it. Deceived. That's what deceived is. You're not, but you think you are, and then you find out you're not. God brought you out of deception. That was deceived. That's what deceived. You believe you are, but you're really not. But God brings the light, boom, and you come over in it. You come out of being deceived. Well, they believe you don't have to do anything anymore of obedience. That's what that is. To the Lord. You know, I was thinking about it this morning. I'm going to get some scripture here a little bit. Back up what I'm saying. I was thinking about it this morning. I thought, okay, God presented the word through my just reading the word as a Christian. I wasn't thinking about my wife or nothing. I was reading it. And Paul wrote in there and he said, love your wife as Christ so loved the church. And y'all know the story. I shut it. I thought, man, she'll take advantage of me if I try to do that. That's neat, you know. That theological reasoning. And so I thought, okay, all right. Okay, then I go on, you know, and I thought, wonder what that really means. To love my wife. How many knows I had read the scripture in the Bible where it says, ponder the path of your feet. Think about what you're thinking. Think about where you're going. Think about how you're walking. He said, and let all of your ways be established. Something's established, that means it's here. It's sound. It's. And I thought, okay. And so I go to the cabinet that morning going to work, and there was only one brown, I think it was a brownie oatmeal, whatever it was, it don't make no difference. There was only one. Now, she stays at home, Richard, and she lay air conditioned. She ain't not working a job. She ain't got to get up. She ain't got to go to work. Now, y'all ladies have a lot to do. I'm not belittling y'all. You know, washing the clothes, washing the dishes, washing, taking care of the house, taking care of the kids, taking care. I'm not belittling y'all or her in any way. But I'm going to work and I'm laboring out there and she's staying at home. So I thought, well, you know, but God, I need this. You know, that's where the word was challenging my mind. And so I had to, in other words, this is not going to work. I've got to make a choice now. Right? Faith without works is dead. I didn't know that really. I wasn't challenged to thinking that. Faith without works is dead. No, I'm here to make a choice. Now see, I'm under grace. I can eat it, I'm under grace. No, I can't. If I want a good marriage. If I want God's power in my marriage. Then he is showing me there how to love my wife. Put her before myself. The Bible even says that I didn't know it. Man, I've been a Christian 3 months. And he's leading me quick in this stuff. Quick. Why? Because we was jacked up from the floor up. There's a bunch of them sits in the church today. They're still jacked up from the floor up. I don't mean that critical. And if you're one of them, it's, you can repent and you can, it's still repentance today. It still says in the Bible that me and you are going to give an account to God whether we are under grace or not for the deeds that we do in this body. It is clear in Scripture. So you better watch that grace teaching. No, I'm not over here where I have to do it, but I know inside of me that this is the free life. Being a doer and obeying God is a free life. He's not a dictator. Man, he is God. And I mean, he made a way for me and you out of the darkness of this world and destruction by our own free will. And so I did it. I went on and I did that. Well, you know what? Back before I got saved, I had a lot of nicknames for her. I had nicknames for old lady, different things, you know, and all of that, you know, and once I started doing that, that scripture began to convict me when I would say, so I told her before we got saved, you know, I'd tell her, you're fat and ugly and they don't nobody want you. You know why I did that? Selfish. I wanted her believing that so she wouldn't leave me. I know y'all can't imagine some human would do that to a human being, but I did it. But you know what? We can get born again and us Christian men can do the same thing. You might not say you fat and ugly, nobody wants you, But you say that you loved your wife as Christ so, and we got to teach our young men this stuff. Godly principles, godly manners of being and doing, examples before our kids and our grandkids. That they don't come up warped up like this world and warped up like a lot of Christians are today that thinks that it don't matter how you talk to your wife. Most of the time, I would be angry when I would say that stuff. I would get angry and I'd tell her you're fat and you're ugly and ain't nobody going to want you and blah, blah, blah. You know, I got born again. I've never let that come out of my mouth again. I treat her like a queen. She may not disagree. She may disagree, and that's her problem. You got it? That's her problem, not mine. God knows my heart. God knows. And I'm not saying that to make an excuse to anybody, because my heart is open to God. God knows what I mean when I say he knows my heart. He knows I mean I love my wife like I so love the church. What I'm saying here is, I'm not off on my little story, you know, but I'm off on, you know, I can say I love my wife as Christ so loved the church, and then I can go and dishonor her at home. I can dishonor her. I can make the grandkids think less of her, or I can say things to her out of anger or whatever. I get angry all the time with her. But I don't sin. You got it? The Bible says what I can't do in faith toward her is sin. Whatever is not of faith, if I'm not, I can't call her fat and ugly in faith. I know y'all quiet. Y'all don't turn me off either. I'm under an anointing this morning. And I wasn't going to major on that. But if y'all husbands are disrespecting your wife, hallelujah, you are disrespectful to the Lord. You got it? He don't take it lightly. And it messes with your joy and your peace and your stand of faith in the fight of victory for your healing, for your finances, for your strength, for your longevity, for your anointing, for your blessing. Hallelujah. I told Teresa this morning, I told her, I said, I didn't tell you right. She said, yeah, you're the head, you're the man. I said, yeah, and that's responsibility. I said, that puts responsibility on a man. To honor God, walk with God, keep his family protected, keep the anointing on everything that I do so that everything that we go about to do is blessed. So faith without works is dead. And for the wife, don't call him your old man. Don't treat him like he's your friend. He can be your friend, but he's the man of the house under God. He's to be respected. Not ever disrespected in public or outside of public. I told Teresa one time, I said, I don't need a mama. Now she wasn't. I mean, she just being Teresa and all that, and sometimes we have to straighten them up. I don't need a mama. Your husband don't need a mama. You don't want him henpecked. They call it, the world calls it henpecked. You want to encourage him. You want to honor him. You want to submit to your husband as unto the Lord. You know, you want him standing firm and strong in the faith, following God. And you want to dictate. Don't try to dictate the man. I'm talking to y'all wives. The Bible says for you to submit to your husband. I don't care if you think he's stupid. Teresa thought I was stupid, but I've led her into wealthy. By gollies, I'm telling you right now, following Jesus Christ, I made decisions she got mad at and stayed mad at for weeks. But God and I had to go on and fight the good fight of faith, Monty. I had to go feeling like a worm. I had to go feeling like a deadbeat, right? Because I made godly decisions. Because I made decisions that I felt like, and I went in faith, and I did not live by how I felt. But God, I live by what I felt like the Lord was leading me in. And you know what? Later on, because of my stand, she's seen at times, at different times. Both ways, it works both ways. I mean, you stand behind her. Oh, all a woman really wants to know, she loves God, and she wants to know that she's secure at home. Not on rocky ground. Not on unstable ground. Who can enjoy that? Who can enjoy life like that? This world is unstable, ungodly all over the world. I mean, divorce rampant, you know, all over the world and even in the church today. And I'm telling you, that's going to turn around if you've got godly men that says, I'm not looking for nobody else. I'm not looking at anybody else. I'm looking unto you, God. You are my God, and she's all I need. She's all I want. It does look better out there. At times, for men and women, that old slick come riding through, looks like he would go sit on the beach with her and just sit under the moon and just lollygag in the eyes. That's not reality. That's Hollywood. But God, you go look at little slick britches, and I mean, he done been bankrupt three times. He done lost me, done fifth marriage. Yeah, he got some money to go buy a Corvette, but he ain't got nothing else. He got slick hair, and that's it. It's some good preaching today, ain't it? You don't get this in church anymore. But I'm telling you, the Bible says we'll know the truth and the truth will make us free. I know it's God's word. I'm preaching it. Give me the first scripture. I ain't even got to my notes. I got plenty of time. Hallelujah. We got 30 minutes. We got 30 minutes. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by what? What about my marriage? Word of God. What about my finances? Word of God. What about my grandkids? Word of God. What about my job? Word of God. What about where I work? Will of God. Find it. Seek Him. Ask Him. Seek Him. Pray. Fast. I sent a message to our pastor, my pastor. Told him this morning to say, man, I said, I need you to pray for a service this morning. He said, is that a dollar going to be there? And I said, no, it's next week. He said, well, I'm preaching to so-and-so. And I said, well, I'll be praying, but I'm going to pray for your service this morning. He was wondering, what is something special, I guess? Do we need to pray for it? No, just pray for us. Right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by not them people out there. The earth is round. Flat, wet, burning, dissolving, global warming. Or they come in the church and they'll say it out there, the church is just going to hell in a handbasket. Not this one. But God, them over there might be getting out of the will of God, but we ain't. We're going to heaven, and we are going to do like Monty said. We're going to let our light shine. I'm not going to water down the word of God. I'm not going to do it to appease people or these teenagers. Believe God for your car, son. But God, I mean, I'm 8 years old out in the field with a scratcher tooth, and my grandkids, they melt picking the squash. But you know what? That's why I'm to influence them. That's why I'm to get them out in the squash patch. That's why I get them out in the cucumber patch. That's why I get them out in the hot pool where they're sweating. Right? Aiden comes out there one day and he's going to pick squash. It'd been good because I had one row of squash and that's all we're picking. Well, I planted another row over here, Johnny. And when it got up, they grow kind of together. And if you know squash, some of you don't know squash, but it's kind of prickly, the leaves and stuff on it. So he comes out there in his sandals with no shoes, no socks. And I looked at him and I thought, uh-oh. And then he had shorts on. I didn't say nothing. I said, we're going to go down this way and then we're going to come back down this way, you know, and then we'll double back, go down this way and pick and come back. I'm letting, so he's following me. And he gets in the first one and he's on his legs. And he says, hey, Papa. No, he said, told Aubrey, he said, Aubrey, can you go through there? She said, that's not my job. Her job is out yonder at the fruit stand, you know, packing it out. And I taught them how to put it and pack it out and overfill it and give more than enough, you know, and let everything be a blessing. That's her. So she's not coming in there. And that's reasonable. And so I looked at him and I said, you're going to be fine. Come on. I let him in that patch, prickling them legs and all. And then when we got to then, he's like, I don't know. I said, come on, push through it. So he pushed on through it, and he's scratching. And I mean, and I told him, I said, don't scratch. I said, don't scratch it. I said, just rub it. I said, it'll be fine. I'm telling you this for a purpose. I can tell him all day long, oh, God's going to bless that fruit stand. God's going to double and triple that fruit stand. He gonna do it. I mean, faith comes by hearing. They get all excited. But I gotta still teach him on the other side, work. If you gonna believe God, you gonna have to add your works to your faith. And then it's completed. Then it is perfected. No matter what area. This is not, Christianity is not hard as the world and the church makes it. It's choices. He's tried to get me to divorce Teresa for 30, 40 years. He's tried to get me to quit this church for 24 years. He's tried to get me to quit the things of the kingdom for 33 years. But if you live by faith and you have works, then there's no power that has that kind of ability to take you out. It's your choice. God is with you. God is for you. God is not against you. And so we get to the end of the row, and I said, good job. You did a good job. I said, now from now on, I said, it would pay you to wear some pants down here. But it's hot. But you know what? The other day, a few days later, he come down and I let him off. And I don't know, I told him, you're off. You know, just go on, Papa, I'll get it. It's easier for me to do it than it is train them. Takes me longer. I'm out in that sun longer. I'm out there because I can buzz right through there. I'm a professional at it. God, I mean, And so when we get to the end, I tell him, so a couple of days later, let him off, a couple of days later, come down through there, cause Dad made him get out. Told him, Papa's down there in that garden, y'all get down there. They're doing good because they're not going to let him sit there and let Papa do all the work and then go out yonder and let them make the money. That's not right. Now, I won't make them do it, but they will. That's their job. Their job. I won't make them do it. I'll just do it and give them the money. They got to help me in the matter, right? But anyways, he gets down there and had his cap on, Sandy. And I mean had on some long breeches. I said, well. I said, that's what that training does, ain't it? Yeah. Teaching them life lessons, you know, because If they're going to have faith in God, give me the next scripture. I got to move on. They got to realize you got to have works with your faith. Do y'all remember the story where Peter, he put the disciples on the boat and told them to go to the other side? Y'all remember that? I preach this every time. And Peter, then he's walking on the water. And Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. And he said, come. Jesus told him, he said, well, come on. Come on out here on the water. That's where Peter walked on the water. So Peter just, what'd he do? Sat in the boat? He done what? Sure, the water didn't go in there and float him out and made him stand up? No, it didn't. When he told him to come, Peter, by choice, got up and stepped out on an ocean and began to walk on that ocean. And then Peter looked at the boisterous water and he began to sink. And then he said, Jesus, save me. And then Jesus reached down and pulled him up, and then Jesus said, he said, why did you doubt? And I thought, how many have not got their healing because they look at their bodies? Listen to the doctors. Don't go do anything because of fear. I went and had open heart surgery in faith. You couldn't kill me. I mean, you could not. I'm like, let's get her done. Cut my body, because I'm not my body. Amen. But if you need to put some new hose pipes in there, do it. I'm good. Want to take them out of my leg? Yeah, I don't care. Take them out of wherever. If they good down there, get them. But I went in faith and came out. My faith was showing up in my confidence in there. I'm preaching to sinners about lost people about coming to church in there. One of them in my family, and I get out, I'll be in church Sunday. Y'all come to church now. I'm in the hospital down there. Call me a church flake if you want to. I see warriors in the house of God that's planted in the house of God. I see those that by doing what it says, those that are planted in the house of God flourishing in the courts of our God. But I see those sitting at home wondering if God will show up, wishing that God would show up. I mean desperate on the inside to survive, always broke, always sick, always discouraged, always ain't got no confidence in nothing. But I see those in the house of God that are coming up and planted in the house of God. That's the will of God. And they are planted there. Their hearts are planted there. They're doing the will of God there. He's feeding them the word of God. And then he's quickening it to them. And they're going out. They're getting in their struggles. And in their struggles, they begin to see God. This is what it means. This is where it's going to be. I see them today are going to flourish. We are the light in this world. He says, and straightway Jesus said, there it is. I thought that was another one. Peter answered, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto you water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. He asked Peter to do something impossible. I went to the river one time, buddy. When I felt like, ooh, because I'm building myself up in faith. And I purposely went to the river. I thought, I'm going to walk on the water. I'm going to walk on. I ain't taking nobody with me. I didn't believe it, or I would have took somebody with me, Darce. But I just wanted to go see. So I go down to the river. And I thought, in Jesus' name, I'm going to walk on the water. Glory to God. If he's no respecter of persons. And he'll do it for Peter. He'll do it for me. In Jesus' name. And I got over where it was shallow. Why did I? Why wouldn't I got over where it's deep? I sunk quickly. And I thought, man, my faith must be weak. And the Lord said, I told Peter to. There's the key. Right there to faith. Faith comes by hearing what God is speaking to you. Right? Faith comes by hearing about what. So acknowledging Him is very important. Acknowledging God about everything is very important. To hear from Him or get that quickening on this side. This is the will of God. And whatever you don't know the will of God, seek Him on. And just do what you know to do the will of God. And it's going to be challenging, John, for you to do the will of God. I'm just telling you straight up. But in that challenge, in the sacrifices, whatever it is, will never be greater than the power and the rewards of God. Now, I'm not talking just John. That's all of us. Buddy, I had to set my face towards the Lord in times when my marriage wasn't good, when my finances wasn't good, when my neighbors wasn't good, when my church member buddies wasn't good. I had to set my heart and my mind towards the Lord and tell the Lord, as for me and my house. And I was talking about me, Teresa, and Travis. And then it's just me at times. And she's had to do the same thing. But you know what? We got the victory. We're still standing. We're blessed. We ain't oppressed. I'm not concerned about what I'm going to hear from God and bring it to you. But that does concern me what you're going to do with it. That does. I pray, God, I thank you, Lord, that they'll take your word, God, and they'll take it, whatever you speak to, from the pulpit. Not just me, kids and all. I'm talking about the whole ministry. Amen. That, Lord, they will take it and lay hold of it, because your Bible says the word preached to them, not mixed with their faith, profits nothing. So Peter gets out and he begins to look. So Peter, God told me one time I'm sitting there, it wasn't in the Bible, these words, but it was in line with the Bible. He told me I'm sitting on my steps and I've got my mind on the Lord and off of all my trouble at work and not enough money. I didn't have enough money. My vehicles wasn't good. My marriage still wasn't good. You know, I mean, I've not been saved very long, probably about 4 months, you know, and I don't really know what the fight of faith is. I'm just now learning, just now putting the word in, you know. So I'm down there wondering in my mind if all of this stuff really gonna work, because I hadn't seen it work for nobody. But in here, man, I'm like, I got a hold of the real thing. In here, I'm like, yeah, that commercial Coke, the real thing, it was out popper, and I thought, I've got a hold of the real Jesus. You know, and I'm down there wondering in my mind if it's ever going to work, because my mind hadn't been renewed to the word yet, John. So I'm battling with it. Once you get that word renewed, your mind renewed, you are going to love your wife as Christ so loved the church. You will put her first. Now, you can get in the flesh and jack it up anytime you want to. Jack it up. Get in the flesh. Jack it up. I have seen people get in the flesh that are Christians and ruin their whole marriage and their kids and the grandkids and the great-grandkids after that are going to suffer from the effect of one flesh thing. Praise God. So the word of the Lord. But give me the next one, Beth. I just wanted to point that out. He told me to go in business. He put the desire in my heart, and I went after that desire. And when things got rough, Doris, and I was going to go get a job, and Teresa would say, what did God say? Because, see, there's always somebody going to be in your life that'll stop you if God knows you are going to make wrong choices. I mean, he calls Teresa to tell me, what did God say? And I thought, well, I hadn't asked the Lord. I didn't tell her that. She said, what? You teach us to do it. Acknowledge God in all of your... Well, see, sometimes when you're in the challenge and you're in the thing, he might have to bring somebody. And speak a word to you. Then I said, well, the Lord ain't told me nothing. She said, then you don't do nothing. She said, you know you're in the will of God. We know you are. See, if you know you're in the will of God and you're needing a breakthrough really, really bad, but God's not speaking nothing, then it's when you do nothing. You don't call up all the Christians and get counsel because they don't know. Pat, your family don't know the will of God for you. I don't know the will of God for you. I know some of the will of God for you. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Love your neighbor. I know you don't have to pray about it. Even if he's breaking down your fruit trees. You don't got to pray about none of that. That's the will of God. You might have to ask God, God, strengthen me in your will here, God, that I can do your will, God. Strengthen me that I can have a good marriage. Strengthen me, God. Strengthen me, God. Y'all wives, pray for your husband. I wouldn't have a man. Yeah, and you're going to spread that to every little girl you got, you come in contact with. No, you get biblical how it is to be a wife. Be it to God. And then teach it to your grandkids and your kids and their kids and your neighbors and your... I mean, if somebody in here gets in there in a Sunday school class for the kids and the teenagers that is all warped up about marriage because they done been through eight of them, and they going to teach them, I don't have a man, I wouldn't have a man. They will nobody be in these classes like that. Because we are not going to preach a false gospel. Bless God, and when our kids and teenagers come out of there, pray God they going to know the truth. That you seek the Lord, you find that man that God wants for you. Not another one. Not the little hottie down there in high school. Not the little frosty freeze dude because he's blonde and got nice hair. Not the little tan one over there because he's popular. When they come for my grandbaby, my granddaughter, they gonna know Jesus Christ. They can't come to none of our parties, our pool parties after my little granddaughter. But God, you gonna have Bible study up by the pool. There ain't gonna be no dark nights visiting us. You're going to be in the light, bless God. Because we know that that's a short period right there that Satan can come in and he can bring great destruction. We're not going to be rude to him. I'm not going to have a fish head. And then have babies like that walking around. Satan ain't gonna jack us up. I make it funny, but thank God all that stuff is real serious to me. It really is. But this wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. That's not it. Go on. Let me see if I got it wrong. I got it wrong. I think it's two. That's wrong. I can't preach that. I don't have nothing. Yeah. Whoo. Man, that's a shocker. You read that, you're like, oh, I ain't got nothing. I can't say nothing. Even so, faith, if it has what? Not works, is what? Dead. Being alone. That's why I took my wallet out, Pat, when I was plumb broke listening to them preachers that are criticized on TV and had TBN on, and they're preaching about finances, and I wasn't able to give nothing in there, so God give me grace. He let me get some from them anyways. I didn't have no money. I'm sitting there and they're saying, money cometh to you. Money cometh and money stay. Boy, they're preaching that, and I'm like, I'm in here, man, I'm hooking up with them, and I'm like, ooh, ooh, this is that blessed going in and out stuff it says in Deuteronomy 28. I mean, I got so fired up, I was in my boxers, underwear, whatever I was. I didn't put no clothes on. I got that flat, broke wallet, But God and I jumped out of my seat in the middle of the night, about 9 at night, and I run out of that trailer, pray God, I mean pitch dark, nearly naked. And I run around, I wasn't thinking. I run around that thing, but God, and I was holding my wallet up saying, I'm blessed. Listen to me, devil. I mean, I'm letting the whole neighborhood know. If the devil's in their house, he got out while I was out there. But you know what? Today, I don't have to go out by faith. I had works with my faith. I'm pointing that out. If you got real faith, then you get out and you do something. Y'all remember the guy with the withered hand in the Bible? I always got caught up in the story surrounding it. Them scribes and Pharisees there trying to catch him in something, you know. And they were there. That's what was happening. It's on the Sabbath. Not supposed to heal on the Sabbath under the law. Well, he's not under it. He fulfilled the law. So he is the Sabbath. Right? So he's every day to us. He's not one day a week in this place. Thank God he's not this building. This building's in bad shape. This building needs a lot of work. But he ain't this building. He's in us. He came here and he's manifesting himself to us today through the preaching of the word of God, the anointing. I'm under it. I don't have to want. I don't feel nothing. Well, quit feeling. Hook your faith up. Faith is a choice. You should have said, my wallet, I'm going, I might not run around my house, but by God, I'm getting it and I'm going to tell that devil. He says, yeah, a man may say thou hast faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. You can't. And I will show you my faith by my works. Remember the guy, withered hand? Around there, all the scribes and the Pharisees, they was trying to catch him, Pat, to accuse Jesus. You think you're going to get by walking like Jesus and not be accused and persecuted and ridiculed and whatever? It's not going to happen. If we're going to be like him, then we're going to have persecution. You know? People are going, I mean, I've been talked about for 24 years here. What do you need that building for? Ask the Lord. I'm going to get that down there. Why you need that? What y'all's church need that for? Ask the Lord. He just put it on our heart. I don't know what we're going to do with it. We didn't either. But we do now. We clothe the hungry. Yeah, naked. I ain't seen none of them naked. I see them coming in there, a lot of them getting stuff to go to the yard selling with. We know it, but that's okay. Praise the Lord. We didn't know. We didn't have a clue. Lord said, get it. I stepped out, praise God. I didn't say, we can't afford it. If I have faith, then what I have? Works, right? So I tell the Lord, well, I got a problem. If I ain't got the money to pay my bills, I tell him, you got a problem. Lord, I'm not being rude here, but hey, my name's at stake. I told him, I said, God, you're going to show up tomorrow and you're going to make yourself look real good to those that are receiving. He's going to make yourself real to you and real when you start faith, when you use your faith and words. He said, thou believe there is one God, that the devil, dwelleth the devils also believe and tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? It's dead faith. Okay, the man with the withered hand, I'm going to make a little example. He goes over there, and they was watching him. But he tells that man with the withered hand, he said, stretch forth your hand. He could have said, I mean, it's withered up, something. It's terrible, whatever it is. It's not like his other, it's not like his this hand. He could have said, stick your shoulder out. Stretch your arm out here. He didn't. He made it specific. He said, stretch forth your hand. He asked him to do what he couldn't do. The hand was withered. He couldn't stretch it out. He said, stretch forth your hand. And the Bible says that when he stretched forth his hand and said it became healed just like the other one, whole, just like the other one. What if he'd have said, Jesus, I can't tithe. I can't be faithful to church. We got ball games, we got kids, we got this, we got that. You know, we don't want our kids and grandkids to miss out on the ball stuff and all of that. No, he stretched forth his hand and it was made whole. He had works with his faith. He believed what Jesus said and he did it. Go on, Beth. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? He was. Get it in your mind. You don't work yourself to be right with God. You can't do works for healing. All of that's been paid for Jesus. But don't believe this world and the majority of the church that you don't have to have works anymore. This is your word in your Bible, your Jesus that you serve, saying this. He said, seest thou how faith with his work. He said, was not Abraham justified by works when he offered up Isaac? Listen, his justification come in his obedience when he laid his son on that altar. Works. And drawed the knife back. And an angel of the Lord stopped him and provided a sacrifice. His faith was perfected right then. Mine was when I took that wallet out. And I run around, but God, and I had works with my faith. And then I didn't go around telling everybody how broke I was and my washing machine quit and I needed one. I learned God got me the word of God, you know, through teaching about witchcraft. If I got some kind of need and I go tell all of y'all with a motive in here that somebody needs to help me, somebody, that is witchcraft. I learned that in my church early. And so I thought, I'm going to go see if it works. Watches won't run on me. I think I just got something going on. I've always thought it's the anointing. I don't know if it is or not. I can't prove it. They won't run on me. I drained the batteries and stuff. So anyway, I come to work that next day, and my brother Preston, he wore a nice watch, man. Nice Timex watch, you know. And I pondered it. And I thought about it on the way to work. I thought, okay, man, I'm going to see if this witchcraft stuff works. I'm going to use witchcraft on him, unbeknownst to him, you know, and I'm going to get that watch. And so I get to work, we're in there, and I thought, what time is it? Oh, so. And I said, man, I'm going to have to get me a watch, man. I'm going to get me a watch like you. I walked in there, and I'm cunning him. I'm like, boy, I'd like to have one just like yours. That's a nice watch, and all that, you know, and I said, I'm going to get me one like that. And I mean, I kept on in there about 5 minutes, and he said, well, here, but God, you just have mine. Bible says give, and it shall be given. He handed me that watch, and I said, I just conned you with witchcraft. And then I told him the whole sermon I preached last night. I said, we got to watch that witchcraft. I said, I don't want your watch. I'll buy me one. I said, but it's real that witchcraft works. And then I found out if I do that, God backs off. And I might not get God's best. Because if I believe God's able to do miracles, if I believe he's able to come through, then I'm going to have to step out and act like it. See, you've got to act on what word you get from the Lord if you're going to perfect your faith. And once that, look, when Abraham did that, it put him on there and drawed that back. That proved his faith. And then here come the miracle. Here comes your miracle. Here comes your watch. Here comes your healing. Here comes your whatever. That woman with the issue of blood, I told the Lord this morning, I said, okay, Lord, I've got older now and my feet are challenged. My sinuses have been challenged for, I don't know, man, 15 years. And so I say it every day. I don't go around, oh, God, my sinuses. You'd ever get together, good Lord, if I had these sinuses. Oh, they're killing me. It's terrible. Oh, it's just terrible. You won't throw up every time you think about it. It's just terrible. That ain't using a lick of faith. So I tell the Lord all the time, thank you, Lord. It's manifesting right now in my body. I've done it 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4, and then some other challenges hits me in the bazooka. That's when they usually sang that song, and if it ain't one thing, nobody know. If it ain't one thing, it's another. I'm telling you, my freezer went out, then my ice cream maker went out, and then my heat and cooling system went out, but God, I mean, oh, glory to God, though, it all went out, and it's just terrible. I ain't got no money, and I don't know how in the world I'm going to get by. This should not be the confession and action of any believer. Richard, Adam blamed Eve. It's that woman you give me. That's what I told the Lord. It's Teresa. Lord, I mean, if you'd change, blah, blah, blah. Got done, he said, it's not her, nothing wrong with her shoe. And I thought, he don't live with her. But he does. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. Don't believe this world. I mean, there's so much out. They got home forums now. They got church discussion. We have it here. You don't have to go to church. That is stupid. The Bible says forsake. And a lot of Christians, well, I mean, I joined this group. And, and so I'll tell people if they say all that, I'll say, well, at least get up, brush your teeth and your hair. And if you're going to have a talk about Jesus in your living room, invite all your neighbors. I mean, it's a house church. It don't belong to you anymore. It belongs to the will of God, because His will is that you get them added to the church. When you say that, they'll change their mind. They're like, well, we was listening to the devil. I ain't coming in my church. I want to eat all my refrigerator stuff and blah, blah, blah. Stealing my toilet paper. They do it here at times. Y'all okay? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you. And we thank you, Father God, that, Lord, you'll make it very clear to us, Lord. Lord, it's not working to be saved or working to be healed or get good enough and all that. That's the enemy trying to confuse the body. But, Lord, everything has been paid for at Calvary. But, Lord, you lead us and guide us in obedience to you, Father God. Just obeying what you tell us to do, whether it's step out of the water, drink another bottle of water for our heat, whatever you tell us to do, Father God, in obedience to you. That's the works that you're looking for, the obedience to you. But you always lead us into victory. Lead us into the good life. Lead us into freedom. We go from freedom to freedom, from faith to faith, and glory to glory, Lord. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in our lives, Father God, as it is in heaven. Lord, we yield ourselves to you, Father God. We want your will be done, Lord. We don't want to make our own choices, Father. We want to know that the choices that we make, Lord, are what your Holy Spirit is leading us to do, Lord. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Father God, if we realize, Lord, that we have faith, but we're not acting on it, Father God, we'll ask you to help us. Help us to act on it, Lord, because it is a challenge at times, Father, and I thank you for that, Lord. We give you all the glory. Is anybody here this morning, you need prayer before we dismiss? Hallelujah. All right, let's stand to our